Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica. Hi, honey.
Hi. Welcome to the core team.
Yeah, sorry we're late, everyone, but it's all right. Okay, tonight's show. Core beliefs, how do we create a relationship with a man and with a woman? Okay, that was your request last week, so... And I just wanted to read this little ditty because I don't know about anybody else, but I've been hunkered down this week. just one paragraph. This is Denise LaFay. Gads, what a year 2011 was. Mother of Gads, what a month December 2011 has been. The entire year was intensely compressed, difficult, and highly challenging for me personally, as I know it was, for most of you too. Then December 2011 was a compressed super version of the whole year. December has been extreme and an intense last-minute second chance to resolve and tidy up. Perrin, mop up the heart wounds and blood and guts. And Perrin, whatever you, me, each of us needs to before the final year, 2012, of the 25-year-long alchemical ascension process kicks in. That sounds so daunting. I was like, oh, God. So I had to really write this out tonight to kind of get to, because this stuff, because I'm working with it all day, every day, oh, Lord. In between, I am doing power retrievals, but we're trying to get beliefs into every session, and the team is just, man. I am personally reeling. So, you're all such powerful people who haven't all fully realized your power. This is our conundrum for everybody. It's a precarious position because you think, if I'm so damn powerful, why can't I create the relationships I really desire and choose? Ta-da! It's all in the beliefs. Where do the beliefs come from? They start with mom and dad. And while I was sitting here, the team came in and said, remember to explain to people that as star beings, many of you really look to parents to understand Earth because you were so impressional, empathic, and trying to fit in, I believe. Yes, and trying to fit in. And I just thought that was a very powerful statement. And especially I think of you, Veronica, because of your empathic ways. And as a child, I was incredibly empathic. And for you, you had a large family trying to fit in with very strong personalities where I lived in all the foster homes trying to fit in when somebody dropped me on a doorstep. So, you know, actually, I think I had the better lot in life because I didn't have to deal with them forever. So,
yeah, you don't have to deal with them today.
Yeah, thank you very much. And also, the reason that we have done and continue to do the power retrievals is that we're reclaiming power from them and all lifetimes we've spent with them, including parallel lifetimes, which all exist in the now moment. This stuff is working more at the sub and unconscious levels, but there are other beliefs and experiences that are sitting in the conscious mind, somewhere in a corner that we haven't realized, remembered, accessed, or discerned, that are influencing us, our choices, and our beliefs. And, you know, there's variables to everything. So some of you had really great parents, and your challenges didn't occur until later in life. But the majority of all of us are carrying core beliefs about men and women that were formulated and imprinted in childhood. And then the influences beyond that to parents, to teachers and counselors and friends and relatives and siblings, etc. So, you know, there is, and I tried to talk about it last week, but I realized after the show, and I think it was Squirrel that wrote and said, after listening to the show, let's just forget men and go on with our lives. Now, before I go on about this and we talk about men, a couple things I want to say here. don't try to tackle all of your beliefs. It can undo you. When you get into core stuff, which is different than just kind of the, I don't want to say superficial, because nothing's superficial. A core belief is, I'm not valuable. Okay? A core belief is, I'm flawed. A core belief is, I don't deserve. A core belief is, I'm not lovable. These are really core beliefs. Okay? And you usually have a primary core belief about men and women. But if you try to hit all of them at once, and somebody wrote me today, it can undo you. And you can go into such overwhelm that if you're running the program or the belief that says, I'm flawed or I don't deserve, it can really spin you out. So, you know, I want to really say that this is not something you sit down and say, okay, I want to change everything at one time. Oh, God, please don't do that.
Then I could get a beliefectomy.
Yes, it is a beliefectomy. And Bonnie and I often email in the mornings, especially if we hit something and we share it. It's really quite fun. And we were sharing this morning, and, you know, Bonnie, she'll make a whole list of beliefs and then change them all and so on. And I've got stuff everywhere. And, you know, what I said is, okay, this is our focus, okay? We're dealing with it from a different level, but when people start opening up I've been dealing with this for years and years and years. When people start opening that up and really looking, you know, and I have people that I've talked to and said, I've been working on beliefs for years. And I'm like, welcome to the new party. Because going into 2012, this is the big one, guys. I mean, this is it. And so it's really, it's not about trying to do it faster or because you know that you carry mastery, that you can do this when nobody else. Oh, God, don't go there. Because you will kick your own hiney. Let's talk about men a little bit. If your core belief about men is that they are weak, and that seems to be a fairly universal belief. You know, we've got the other ones that they're scary and this and that, but that men are weak. It will show up with potential lovers, husbands, bosses, and male children. And that's how we project, because especially if it came from dad. Okay. And, you know, it's interesting when you talk to people, Veronica, and I'm sure you understand this one, and you ask them, well, what is your belief about your father? Okay. And when they really start pulling the beliefs out about father and looking at their beliefs about their husbands or partners, it can be very shocking when all of a sudden they draw the parallel between their beliefs with their partner or husband and their father and realize that there's this projection transference that's happened and never got. And these are very astute people. This is how this stuff can really just kind of, you're like, what? And male children, I really can't emphasize. I've really been looking at how did I project onto my children, my mother and father. It's been a real interesting week. If your beliefs include that men are mean, bossy, selfish, sexually aggressive, or promiscuous, these won't necessarily show up at first. It takes a full 6 months, really, of being together all the time for projections to really show up. And as you've cleared the beliefs, you know, if you have a great relationship with your dad, okay, you more than likely you're going to attract a really good mate, unless there was undercurrent stuff that you weren't aware of and you were busy trying to earn his love and idealizing him. And I'll tell you my story about that in a minute. With my own father, and I this is a real, after the show last week, because you asked the question, Veronica, and I thought, I guess I should have told the whole story.
Hmm.
With my own father, I could not remember, because he left when I was five, other than him waking me up, telling me that he was leaving, and that he was so sorry, and that was it. I never saw him again until I was 12. But my cousin, about 17 years ago, came to dinner out of the way. He's now deceased. So my cousin tells me he was charged with indecent exposure and or molestation, we don't know. Something of that nature. It had to do with a bathroom that we had with this pottery store we had. But everyone kept it a secret. Now, my mother would just say to me, if you see your father run, he's a child molester. I didn't believe her anyway because I knew when it came to my father, I was never going to get the truth. And I realized as I was writing this up how much I had idealized him, which I have really basically always known. So what I did, interestingly enough to me, is that I attracted men who needed to be saved. In other words, I was going to save. This is how the imprint ran in me. And I'm sharing this with you only to give you an idea of how a belief can get twisted in a relationship with somebody you really adore. In my father's case, I adored him. Founded, you know, whether it was unfounded or founded, I have no idea, but I did adore him and he was good to me. So what I did is attract men that needed to be saved. They were either falsely accused or they were losing everything. or saved from themselves. The man that I was married to for 20 years needed to be saved for himself, from himself. I didn't recognize the symptoms. And whether or not, and I can only assume at this point that I fully projected on him because he had some issues in the very beginning anyway, but I could not see him clearly. Hello? So for me, here I was with all these men that needed to be saved on one level or another, whether it was emotionally, financially, spiritually, legally, it didn't matter. I was going to save them. Now, there were other subset beliefs going on with this as well. Beliefs that I found much later in life that men are weak. When I realized that I thought my father was weak, it shocked me right to my core. I couldn't believe that I actually believed that.
Is that because he was a little delicate or gentle or something like that, or because your mom...
No, he was weak. From my perspective, he was weak because he left me with my mother.
Ah.
He didn't fight for me.
Then he abandoned you, right?
Yes. As far as... Again, I had idealized him. I knew how brutal my mother was. So... And he, when I did see him when I was 12, he absolutely was so cautious to be certain that my mother did not know that he saw me.
Hmm.
Okay, he still had fear. He was madly in love with her, but still had fear around her.
Hmm.
All those years later, which I thought was very interesting. My aunt and uncle spoke nothing but highly about him, so I really do not know. And, you know, I mean, what can I say? But there were other complexities in this. The subset beliefs for me, okay, which, aside from men are weak, were that I had to earn love. Again, this came out of living in all the foster homes and the way my mother was and so on, that I had to earn love. And the other one was that if I didn't take care of them and save them, they would never, if I did take care of them and save them, they'd never leave me.
You know, I had that one. I was very conscious of that belief some years back.
I was just fascinated, you know, and I did this over and over. You know, when I look in the mirror and I think, you did what? Were you out of your mind? I mean, today I look back on this and I think, oh, poor dear. I mean, it's really, you know. But then the irony is the one that says men are weak would rear its ugly head and I'd leave them. So, you know, again, I'm sharing these things that are very personal for me with everybody just to kind of give you an idea how these things can kind of morph. When I look at my son and daughter, I got very, very clear that I had projected my mother onto my daughter and my father onto my son. I totally now understand why my daughter calls him what does she call him? It's not the privileged one. It's the, you know, like he's the Messiah. And actually, I've done a lot of work trying to save him as well. So, here
you know what, Jackie? In our families, didn't it seem obvious, at least it did to me when I was small, that a few things could be done and people could get along better. If a few things could be done and people would feel better. And I think I've carried that belief, you know, all the way along. And it's crazy making.
That if you had been able to tell them that they could have changed the way that they interacted?
Not if people would really say what they really mean instead of hiding
it
and distorting it, they would be okay. But I was 50 before I realized that could never work.
Okay, well, again,
so that was a deep belief that I could fix things, you know.
Okay, so then you take that on as shame and failure.
Mm-hmm.
That you failed.
Yeah.
And shame as a result of that, again, and I just want to make this comment about your family members. We're a shame-based race. We are not taught to speak our truth.
That's true.
We are absolutely not taught. And again, I always have to look from everybody else's perspective because of the way I grew up. It was so damn different that, you know, but we are not taught to speak the truth.
But, you know, when I was very small, I used to think that was the only way out of all this misery they were in.
Of course it was. You were just ahead of your time and also an empath.
That's right. I was an empath. Very strong.
Okay. And for all of you listening, everybody's a damn empath. The other piece of this, and this is where it gets very confusing for everyone, and so when we talk about these core beliefs around men and women, and it can get confusing for a lot of people, is many of you see soul energy. You don't see the real person or the human being, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I know this was my biggest handicap is I always saw soul energy, and I saw it in everyone, and it got me in so much trouble because I really believed they would live up to that soul energy. It wasn't, you know, this was not a saving thing. It was literally what I saw in them. And I think there are a lot of people out here who haven't put words to it.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, you know, I have one girlfriend, and I call her my asshole-o-meter because... And I would have to send her pictures of people and say, what do you think? Oh, it was so funny. She'd look in the eyes, and she'd go, yep, there's some asshole in there. Oh, God, I think that's funny. And so I think that we do have that as an add-on, okay, as an add-on. So let's talk about women, because you wanted to bring this up, and I think it was last week. And this is really complex for all of you women and for the men. Men, it's pretty straightforward. You're going to attract either someone like your mother or you're going to project your mother onto whom you attract. Good luck with that one. Clear the damn beliefs. And what you normally see is that husband projects mother onto the wife and wife projects father onto the husband. And now you have, well, this would be a menage a whatever, because you have all these personalities and all these beliefs and all these projections going on. And it is possible to project both mother and father onto someone. I won't go there, but I did that once. Don't try that one.
I've been involved. My mother was extremely critical, and my first husband was my mother in a way, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, that can absolutely happen, Veronica. Absolutely happen. And I hope you've done a ton of work around your beliefs around people being critical, because that's a biggie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because mm-hmm. Bob isn't.
No, but it can make you gun shy when you deal with other people.
Yes, you bet.
You know, some of you may say, well, my friends are the opposite of my mother. And God, I hope that's true for all of you. And also, even with friendships, you can start projecting onto the friendship over time. I can personally count the women that I projected mother onto. And I have to tell you, it did not go well. It didn't go well. Ultimately, and they were consciously aware of it as well, several of them actually mentioned it to me. So I started thinking about it, you know, tonight when I was writing the notes, and I said, well, okay. They had the, you know, and I kind of wrote down some of the things, which was brutal, classy, bright, charming, snob, cruel, self-serving, and there were a bunch of others. Multi-talented, you know, I mean, she had all of these, hugely creative, she had all of these amazing things, okay? And it was, she was definitely iconic as a woman. But she had some dark side.
Power issues, maybe, huh?
She walked with such authority that it wasn't even a question to her. She had the power and the authority. She never questioned it. She could play it coy, but trust me, she walked into a room, you knew it. So, and again, I've always thanked her for her genetics, because it made me courageous. And now I look at my friends and the people I'm really close to, and the levels of trust that we have and the compassion, the caring, the fact that we can call baloney on each other, laugh about anything and everything, can just call each other up and say, entertain me, tell me something stupid you've done, and then I'll laugh. And we have, you know, we all have a variety of different kinds of friends that fulfill different needs for us. This is what we do. But also look at whether or not you have projected mother onto any of them or father onto any of them, male or female. Just be careful with that, unless you are really clear and clean about those relationships. It took me a number of very powerful women to finally get it. And it's interesting because with my friend Rita, I do have some mom and dad with she and Andy, because, you know, there is definitely a lifetime we're having on Andromeda together. But the interesting thing is that evidently I projected all the light stuff onto them, not the dark stuff.
Well, that was good. Good choice.
So I was really excited about that. So, you know, these are not hard and fast, but I'm trying to give people some ideas so that when they're looking at their beliefs, they can kind of get a feeling. And, you know, the team has been working with small matrices of beliefs. I mean, we certainly learned with you the other night, Veronica, that you know, the goal is not to take people into overwhelm at all, but to find the different matrices so that they can be unwound, because you can go into shock with some of this stuff. Literally, your body can kind of say, bite me. And the emotional body as well, because literally the structure that you've had that's kind of held you together, as it starts coming apart, you've got to break down and reconstruct so that you're not totally vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so you can't just go in and say, well, you know, let's do 20 beliefs. You can't do that with people. It's too much.
Hey, Jackie, another thing, as you're talking about the mother, I'm just going back just for a minute, the mother and father, isn't it interesting that, for example, I have a lot of reactions to women that came from my reactions to my mother? You know, is it a little different than a projection, isn't it?
It's still a projection. It's a trigger. Well, no. Okay, I'll go into trigger, because I've addressed it in here.
Okay.
If people trigger you, then you need to go back to, because those are like little little gifts from the universe. Boing! You know, the minute you get triggered, you got to look at what belief are you holding that creates the trigger. Obviously, you got to go back and look at mom. I'm assuming that's what you're saying, is that somebody will trigger you with something they say that relates to mom. I'm assuming you're talking about moms being critical.
Yes, or dominant or overpowering or erratic or whatever.
Okay. So then you have to look at, have I really fully changed the belief?
Mm.
Because if people trigger you, you can absolutely be sure that the belief is not fully changed.
So what if it's something simple like a trust issue? I don't trust people because I learned that from the way she was. You see, then it becomes...
Okay, and here's what I'm going to say to you. You will attract people into your experience that you can't trust.
Right.
Or they will act out in that manner as mm-hmm. untrustworthy. I have a daughter that's very much like my mother. I have projected my mother onto her. It takes every... And she actually... carries. It's so fascinating to watch. She's also a master. I'm a master. My son's a master. And it's like, oh, give me a freaking break. It's like they handed me, you know, it's like going through the buffet line and somebody gave you three plates. And so I have to constantly bring myself back to neutral so as not to project onto her.
Hmm.
Constantly. Okay, any belief I may have had about my mother, and allow her to be clear and clean. Now, I've worked with all these beliefs, but I have to rework them as they apply to the daughter. Fix them over here, but they've been on the daughter for so long, now I got to undo those. That makes sense?
Well, I'm in the same boat, aren't I?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Oh, the lights came on. Yes. And it's really interesting because you'll get tested. The more you work on these, the more you're going to find opportunities to look at it, rethink it. And the more I can go to compassionate detachment, and the more I've cleared my beliefs, oh, it's so much easier, because I don't need to run in and save my daughter or save my son. Again, because that theme runs in me.
Well,
but I'm also not trying to earn their love. Huh?
I have that theme as well.
Yes, you do. And I think both of us have the same theme about earning love with parents.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and can people trigger it? Yes. Absolutely. Nobody's going to be absolutely perfect, but this is such an important, you know, rolling into 2012, I have never felt more urgency than I do right now. And the fact that we can walk in dominion. I mean, I can see us just, I mean, we move from dimension to dimension all the time. We're not even aware of it. But to consciously direct ourselves into dimension, when we've lifted some of these core beliefs so we don't take the damn things with us, we can't go to a dimension we really want to be in if we're going to drag the andirons with us. Okay? You know? And, you know, that's like going to the best steakhouse and ordering a hamburger. Are you kidding me? So I did address it here. And your kids will trigger you all the time. I think it's their full-time job to be certain that you got it. I'm talking about myself as well.
It is their full-time job, isn't it?
Oh, yes. When we get it, they don't have to play that role anymore. That's the fascinating part. And as long as I'm clear and clean, and boy, this is a lot of damn work. I will not tell you that this is, you know, a piece of cake. But it's conscious, it's directional. And if it keeps popping up, then there's some belief that we haven't changed, really changed. And again, it's not going to all happen. I changed my beliefs today. I expect it all different tomorrow. No, it probably won't be. It's going to take some time for it to really show up. Some things may show up right away. Some things may show up right away. And, you know, we can have some of the most subtle beliefs in the world about, you know, life is easy. Everything I need is there exactly when I need it. I don't have to struggle through anything. I don't have to be under pressure. Little things like this that we tend to sometimes carry with us unconsciously. It's in our conscious mind, but we're unconscious about the belief. And you can be out here working on relationships with men and women and doing this and all the big stuff and forget about something as easy as that. And I just seem to never be, I just walk around in fascination all the time thinking, oh my God. So we have a lot of exciting times ahead for us. I know we do. And for you, and I want to say this for people with siblings, and I think that I don't know if I'm right, Veronica, but I think that there certainly has been some issues with your sisters.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Them taking on that same kind of critical energy with you.
And my brother.
And you, yeah.
Yeah. It's just gone on quite right through the whole rank.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of typical. When the family has a scapegoat, then the scapegoat maintains that.
Well, okay, now that's a belief, and you don't want to hold that belief either.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because I keep looking at, no, wait a minute, that's a belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, every time I seem to make some profound statement, I go, wait a minute, that's a belief. I really can change that.
Mm-hmm.
I really can change that belief. Because we've gotten so used to making assertions and assumptions about things.
Mm-hmm.
So
the
that are
belief,
self-limiting, huh?
Yeah, so the belief, if we're working on siblings, to look at it somehow,
okay. You know what? I'm going to bring the team in and let them talk to you about this there.
Okay.
All right. All right. Good conversation. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. All right. Now, Veronica, your question is about your siblings, and what is your question?
Well, the question, as Jackie was pointing out, is thinking I was a scapegoat of the family is just a belief, right? So to move out of that and to understand, or I just don't know how to deal with the stuff that goes on between my siblings and I. It seems very critical.
All right. So let's look at, in the very beginning for you, did you feel that you were criticized and the others were not?
In different ways. We were all criticized. But we turned on each other, criticized one another as well.
Well, that's learned behavior, isn't it?
Exactly. And it was acceptable within that framework, wasn't it, in the family?
All right. So, how do you change it? Now, as a child, you couldn't change it. You suffered through it.
Yeah.
All right. But now, you have the choice to change it.
Yeah.
And how do you change it?
I've worked on it for many, many years, actually, but I would prefer to be a little more thorough.
All right. When you're a scapegoat, or that belief, the implication is that you're a victim. That there's injustice. Right?
Yes.
That it's unfair. And then there's the flip side of that, Veronica, which is if you get beat up enough, I must be flawed.
Mm-hmm.
I must be broken. There must be something really wrong with me if everybody sees it. And so what happened? You felt ganged up on all the time. Didn't you?
Yeah, I felt confused a lot, actually.
Well, confused, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Again, all right, the little message that we gave to the channel prior to this evening's show. For those of you beings who come onto this planet, who are incredibly empathic and who really do look at humans and wonder how the heck they're doing these things and, you know, how do they make this work and do they really think this is the way to make things happen? You, of course, used your own words in your childhood, adolescence. But you see, you got an exceptionally big dose, didn't you?
I think I got a pretty healthy dose, unhealthy dose.
All right. So.
But I don't mean to be victimized. I'm just trying to neutralize it.
No. But we have to look at how the child felt.
Yeah.
All right. We're talking about the child here. The child doesn't have the capacity to rationalize. And to figure these things out. And we hope that you're doing work with your child to help her to understand that none of this was true. That she wasn't flawed. She wasn't broken. Do you understand?
Yes.
And that, yes, it wasn't fair. Now, there's another piece here as well. And many of you star beings that are born into family have a different resonance. It creates within people a level of discomfort, and they don't understand consciously why. Many of you were rejected by parents because you were star beings. You were treated differently than your siblings.
Mm-hmm. You mean because we resonated differently and they couldn't feel harmony with us?
Because your frequency was different. It'd be no different, Veronica, than if an extraterrestrial showed up in your room right now. No matter how much you would like to communicate and so on and so forth, if they were fully as physically present as they could be.
Mm-hmm.
But their resonance would actually feel uncomfortable to you.
Yeah, that's probably true, eh?
All right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're talking about. The level of discomfort with that resonance. Literally like a parent saying, I think she's from another planet. Ha ha. More truth than not. Do you understand?
I sure do.
And so you can guard it rather than feeling as though you were the scapegoat. We would rather say and have you look at it from the perspective that your uniqueness was uncomfortable for them. Now we're going to take it a step further. Take it a step further. What happens when someone comes in that reflects back to people more than they know themselves to be?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it uncomfortable for them?
Mm-hmm.
If you're loving, caring, kind, not snipey and whatever, what do they want to do to you? It makes them uncomfortable because they have to look at their own shadow aspects. They don't like doing that. And in their own way, they seek to destroy you. And you were an easy target. Because of your levels of sensitivity. Do you understand?
I do. It makes sense, doesn't it?
Now you can change the belief of the scapegoat. And understand from their perspective that, and this happened to many of you listening here tonight, where being born into a family, and we've seen many of these, either the people come into the family, like yourself, feeling that they must take care of everyone because they feel that they know more and have, of course, the accompanying frustration that they can't necessarily communicate that to the entire family. Hey, look, listen to me because I actually can see what's going on. And then wonder why the families are not receptive to, you know, what do you know? Who are you?
Apparently when I was about 2, I used to tell my mother things and she would cry. So I think
exactly.
That's the same thing.
Yes. All right. Now, if you were able to make your mother cry at 2, all right.
It could get worse, couldn't it?
Yeah. Do you see?
Mm-hmm, I sure do.
So rather than being flawed, because we were talking about what the child believed,
mm-hmm, that's right,
versus the way it really was, versus the way it really was.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at your family, no offense. All right?
Mm-hmm.
One of these things is not like the other. You're that thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We want you to look at that as in a wonderful way, not in terms of human identification. Over and over again, we see people who have come in and they look nothing like their families.
I know people used to say, and whose little girl are you? And I say, I go with them, you know.
Exactly. You're not the only one, dear. We want you to be aware of this. You're not the only one.
That's good.
However, that doesn't mean that your child and adolescent don't still need healing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can explain to them, you see, the reason that they were rejected, they're not going to totally understand it. You can just say it because you were so special and and so your light was so bright, or whatever words you think they can handle, and I'll will understand. It can help lift the sense of being flawed. And instead, allow them to feel unique and wonderful, not flawed, you see. Not better than, we're not talking about better than. We're talking about unique. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Good. And the reason we say not better than, because that can get all twisted up, and you don't want to do that.
No. Now, but it is nice to keep the little one up on a bit of a self, not better than, but self-appreciation.
Self-appreciation, exactly. Exactly. Again, restoring power. Reclaiming it. Lost to the entire family, you see. And the setup for you. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Very conflicting. Because you were persecuted for your uniqueness instead of praised.
Mm-hmm.
And that created a push-pull for you. And we hope you listen to this show so you can garner some beliefs that need to be changed out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you realize that you don't need to be persecuted or critiqued or criticized, all right, and create the belief right out of the belief, and then do your new belief and really sit with it, really work with it. How do you do that? Well, this is pretty basic. Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Imagination, emotion. You got to get those energies running behind what it is you really want. What the new belief is, you've got to feel it. Your emotions are an incredible gift on this planet. They're the drivers when harnessed properly. When harnessed properly. Instead of running amok. Remember that from this side, all right, you are honored for your emotional capacities. Honored. Your light and your dark. Your capacity for love, your capacity for hate. But your capacity for love far outweighs the other. Many beings are studying this. It's the reason everybody's here helping you. This is a major redeeming quality, right? Along with many others. We're playing with you here, but we want you to understand it.
Hmm.
Now, you hold the brother separate. Is rejection incredibly painful to you?
Very much so.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And he abandoned you in your time of need.
Yeah. It's too much for him, I think. I think I understand it. It still hurts.
All right, well, we're going to say this, like with our channel. We think there are times when you idealize people, all of you. He's had plenty of time to rethink, to shift, unless he's in shame.
Yes, he's in shame, I know that.
All right. And if he's in shame and he's going to stay there, all right, it's a shame. It was not an irreversible decision. Yes, he made a mistake. Within your family, do your people not feel that it's all right to step forward and say, I made a mistake?
Periodically, they don't usually do that with me anyway.
What about with each other and others?
I think they do that a bit with each other and others. I just don't know anymore. You know, we're not in touch much.
Well, here's what we're going to say to you. When you get rid of this belief about being a scapegoat,
okay,
you're going to open the doors to some change that may surprise you.
Aha. Well, that'd be good.
Do you understand why?
I do, because it's kind of like it's a pin that holds all the strings coming from everyone else.
Well, and it's a belief that supersedes everything else in terms of whatever behaviors anybody is exhibiting.
All right.
You're the kid on the playground that gets beat up. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
When you change the belief about being the scapegoat and you understand why? Why? They rejected you. Why they hurt you. They don't even understand why. We want you to be clear about this.
Mm-hmm.
They do not understand why.
They probably would say they don't hurt me or haven't hurt me. Probably.
Again, Veronica?
A belief.
Reality is subjective. What does that mean to you?
That I would perceive it that way, and they have their own subjective reality, so who knows? Don't project.
And they may feel that you're completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand. I try to do so much for her, and she just doesn't get it. I don't know what her problem is. That may be their reality. When you change your beliefs, you may experience it completely different.
Well, that would be good.
It's not only good, it's possible.
Hmm.
But you can't do it to earn a position. You do it because it's the best thing to do. It's empowering. It's walking in dominion. This is a limiting belief that has had significant impact on me all my life. Time to get rid of it.
And I think there's a belief underneath it, which is if I take enough flack, somehow it makes things better for everyone. I think that's been really deep in it. If that makes sense, you know.
All right, so you're the...
If mother was wild, I would go be the one that went forward. They'd say, you know, I was the one who was going to get it anyway, so I would reach forward and take it because it just took the steam off. Everybody got released, you know.
So you were saving everyone.
Exactly.
And how did that work for you? To borrow Dr. Phil, all right. How did that work for you?
It was obviously very uncomfortable, but it was something that I just did. I just did it. I remember. And I remember thinking,
all right,
I can handle
it. Let's go back to why you did it.
I think there's a belief in there.
You were trying to earn their love and alliance.
Maybe that's it. Alliance? Yes, probably.
Yes. And allegiance. Will you change the word?
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't work.
Well, as we got older, I became the advocate for them when they didn't get along with my mother. The reverse didn't work, but it did work when I advocated for them. Does that make sense? So there's a sacrificing self in there, I believe.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And a fixer.
Oh, yeah. I've been working on these things, but I'm trying to bring them all up.
Yes, good. Because if you can clear these beliefs here, If I just do enough, if I'm just good enough, if I just give enough, if I just sacrifice enough, the love.
Right. And all will be well. I think there's a deeper thing. It'll all be okay then.
Now, does this play into your world?
I don't think so much anymore. I think I'm much better. I guess I'd have to ask myself in a quieter space. I think I've worked on that.
All right.
But I don't know yet. I have to look around again.
All right. Well, we've done enough tonight now, and also we're out of time.
We are out of time. Thank you for everything.
All right. Now, everyone, again, we would love to work with you tonight. Again, with your higher self, your guides, and you're probably seeing where things are really coming up at you right now, where you're getting a chance to look at many different things. We hope you're carrying around a little tablet to write things down so that you can, at the end of the day, the week, whatever, review and see what's going on. Working with belief. And next week, we're going to talk about something very important. We think will be very freeing for a lot of you. We're excited to share it. Veronica, we love you, dear one. Always
thank
a joy
you.
To work with you.
And you. Thank you so much.
And until we speak with all of you again in this format, please know that we love you. It is our joy and our pleasure and our excitement to see the work that you're all doing, to see how courageous and committed you all are to becoming more, to stepping into dominion, to be the masters that you came here to be. We love you, dear one. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much.
Are we off the air?
Nope, we're still on.
Oh, God, somebody's going to be upset. Good night, everybody. We love you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Wow,
yeah,
what a...
Yes, as we roll into 2012... And, yes, thank you all so much for tuning in, and know that we love you very, very much. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Let's
night, Veronica.
Night, Jackie. Happy New Year.
Same to you, honey. Bye-bye.
All right.